Praise God. The title of the message this morning is Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the subtitle is Power Gifts, Gift of Faith, Part 2. Power Gifts, Gift of Faith, Part 2. And we looked at faith a couple of weeks ago, and this is actually Part 2, and there will be another part to this. We have been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to realize that we are in His year of glorious triumph. Not only are we in His year of glorious triumph, but it's the year of the supernatural as never, ever before. Therefore, He is training His people. These teachings are to grow the body up, and so that you have a clear understanding of what the gifts of God are. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, you can't move in them. Amen? If you don't know what belongs to you, you can't use it. So God wants His people to have a clear understanding of the gifts, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and realize that they're there not only for us, but they're there for us to go forth doing the greater works that Jesus promised that His people would do. Amen. Those that would yield to Him and trust Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are three categories of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me hear you say it. Say, there are three categories of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have looked already at the revelational gifts, and they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits. We've looked at those three already. We also looked at one of the inspirational gifts, which was the gift of prophecy. We looked at that already. Now we are on the power gifts. Praise God. And they include the gift of faith, miracles, and the gifts, with an S, of healing. The gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Praise God. We will be looking at faith, the gift of faith. I don't believe we're going to get to it this morning, but we're going to be looking at that supernatural gift. Praise God. The third category is inspirational gifts. And that includes the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. We've already looked at prophecy, praise, the gift of prophecy. Praise God. Amen. There are different kinds of faith. Different kinds of faith. And we're going to be looking at them, but we're not going to get a chance to get to them today, I don't believe. And the one that's a part of the power gifts is the gift of faith. Praise God. It's different from the other gifts of faith that will be, the other types of faith that we'll be looking at. This morning, we're going to be looking at the levels of faith. There are different levels of faith. And Jesus talked about all the different levels of faith in the New Testament. So we're going to look at that. So I want everybody to have a clear understanding the difference between the levels of faith and the gifts and the types of faith. Say, the levels of faith are different from the types of faith. Just like if I were to ask one of our youth, what grade are you in? I'd want to know what level they're in. I'd want to know if they were in the first grade, kindergarten, fifth grade. That's a level, right? All right. Now, if I wanted to know, you know, I might ask the parent or the teacher, you know, what is this student like? Is this student studious? Is this student lazy? Is this student, you know, pay attention? Is this student cooperative? That would be talking about what the student is like. Amen. So we're going to talk about the levels of faith today, just like if I were asked about a student's grade, what grade are they in? That would be, what level are they in? We're also going to be talking about what kinds of faith there are. Amen. Praise God. So we're not going to, I don't believe we're going to have time to get to that today. Just like we talk about a person, you know, say the student, you know, what kind of student is that student? Not the level they're in, but what kind of student they are. So those are two different things. Amen. Everybody understand that? So we're going to be looking at the levels of faith this morning. The Word of God tells us, and you don't have to turn there, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, neither circumcision avail of anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love, which lets us know that in order for us to really move in the supernatural, and we talk about supernatural, there's nothing spooky or scary about it. That's the enemy. He always tries to bring a counterfeit and make things opposite of what God is and make them bad, really. God is a holy God. That's why he's referred to the third person of the Trinity as the Holy Ghost. That's because he's holy. He's not unholy. Amen? You know, when you see things that the enemy does, those are unholy acts. Amen? So God does not want his people to be fearful of the supernatural, not fearful of his supernatural. And you don't have to be fearful of the enemy and whatever he does in the supernatural, because one thing is a counterfeit, and God in us is greater. And he wants his people to come to the level that he has ordained us to flow in, to realize that, you know, we have power over the enemy and over all of his works. That's why the word of God tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater, say greater, is God in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. And just before that, John talks about, you have overcome these. Talk about these demon spirits, little children. Amen. So you don't have to be fearful, because we've got God in us. Amen. And if we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then his power is upon us. Very much needed. Amen. Praise God. To move in the Spirit in a way that God desires at this end time is never, ever before. Amen. In the Word of God, we see Jesus speaking of different levels of faith. And one of the things he talks about to his disciples is, he says, you know, why is it you have no faith? Why is it you have no faith? Don't want to be there, right? Amen. Now, he wasn't saying that they didn't have faith, but what he was saying was he was allowing something to come in to cause them not to use the faith that they had. You say, well, Apostle, how do you know they didn't have any faith? And Jesus said they have no faith. Because the Word of God tells us that to every man is dealt the measure of faith. Even people that are unsaved have the measure of faith. Amen. They have faith to come in here. You know, if somebody was in faith, they'd have faith to come here. They wouldn't have to inspect the chair or look at it and, oh, I don't know, where am I not sitting in this chair going to fall? Nope. That's faith. Amen. Praise God. So everybody has been dealt the measure of faith, whether they're saved or unsaved. Now, the unfortunate part is that at times believers, even though they have the measure of faith, don't flow in it. And so that was what had happened to the disciples. Here they were on the water. There was a terrible storm that had arisen. The boat was filled with water. Where was Jesus? He was sleeping in the boat. Now, you know, Jesus doesn't just do anything just to be doing it, right? Amen. Why do you think he was sleeping? He was sleeping for a reason, probably because he wanted the rest. But don't you know, he knew what was going on. He knew what was going to happen before it happened. Amen. He moved in the gifts of the Spirit all the time. Praise God. All of them. And so he was back there sleeping, giving his disciples an opportunity. God gives us opportunities every day. How many are using them? So he was giving them an opportunity to do the works he had called them to do. Here he had been mentoring them. He had been teaching them. He had been showing them how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. He had given them the power. While he was on the earth, he had given them a measure of power to go for doing the same thing that he did. But what happened? They allowed fear to overtake them. The scripture that was read this morning, 2 Timothy 1:7, God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Then he doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, I have given you what? A spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. What has he given us? A spirit of power, say it, power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God gives us. So if he didn't give us the spirit of fear, who gives the spirit of fear? The devil. And it is a demon spirit. That's exactly what it is. It's a spirit of fear. And so they had allowed that spirit of fear to get on them. They were looking at the water. They were hearing the winds blow and the waves. They were looking at the water in the boat. Instead of taking authority over that, they were fearful, and they ran to Jesus. Lord, help us, help us. Don't you care about us? Yeah, he cared about them. He wanted them to grow up and do what he called them to do, just like he desires his body today, to grow up, to do what he says, to talk like he talks, act like he acts. Amen. Not be wishy-washy. Amen. Not be fearful. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark. Say, thank God for your word, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Word of God is true. Word of God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. So we look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And this is on your papers. You can write no faith. This is a level of faith. This is a level. People that have no faith. Now, they have faith, but they're not using it for one reason or the other. Jesus said, no faith. Mark 4:35. And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So it was full of what? Water. Right. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him up. What did they do? They woke him up and said unto him, Master, carest thou not for us? Carest thou not we perish? Were they speaking life? No, they were not. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. What did Jesus have to do? He spoke. He spoke words of faith. He spoke words of spiritual life. He saw the same thing that they saw. No doubt if the boat was filling up with water, you know, he was probably getting wet. Right? But he chose not to let that spirit of fear get on him. He chose to speak, to see with his inner eyes. How many know you have, say, I have spiritual eyes inside of me. I can see past what I see in the natural, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so God wants us to see past what we see in the natural, to see, to hear past even what we hear in the natural, and begin to speak it. I'm going to give you a revelation that the Lord spoke in a little while about faith, and I want you to write it down. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So looking again at Mark chapter 4, verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? What were they? Fearful. How is it that ye have no faith? What did he say they had? No faith. Their faith wasn't, they weren't operating in what they had, the measure of faith. They weren't. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind of the sea obey him? Well, God wants us to know we are his sons. We are his children. Amen. And he has equipped us. If you're in this house, you are equipped to do the greater works. Amen. Praise God. So he wants his people to go forth doing the work. Just like here, he gave them an opportunity, his disciples. But they wouldn't go forth. They called on Jesus. Amen. It's time for, you know, his body to grow up, his body to mature. And there's going to be people throughout his body that are going to flow. But it's a decision that each one has to make, each one of us, on a consistent, daily basis. It's just like if you have a child, a little baby. At first, that little baby, you feed the baby, you give it a bottle, then the baby's able to hold the bottle. Then you start feeding it, you know, with food, putting the spoon in its mouth. After a while, when that baby's 8 or 10 years old, you don't want to still have to be putting a spoon in that baby's mouth. It was not a baby then, right? You want that baby to be feeding itself. You change the baby's diaper. You want the baby eventually get out of diapers. You teach the baby how to talk, how to walk. At a certain age, you expect that child to do certain things. Well, the same is true with us. He doesn't want us to just remain babies or in the childhood state or the teenage state. He wants us to be full of him and mature, moving just like he does. We expect our children to be able to do the same thing we do. Amen? Well, God's the same way. Isn't that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, but some are, you know, kicking and trying to lay down and everything else rather than going forward because they don't want to go forward. But it's time to grow up and move in God. Amen? And not look to somebody else to do it. Amen. Praise God. He's called every member in the body to go forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's up to each one to yield. Fear can paralyze a person. Paralyze them so they can't do anything. They won't speak life. They won't go forward. They're just in a standstill. And water that stands still becomes stagnant. And it'll stink. Isn't that right? God wants us to move and floor with him, to move with the cloud. Amen. The second level, we're talking about levels of faith this morning. Not kinds, but levels of faith. The second level of faith is little faith. Little faith. And most Christians, I would say, many Christians operate in little faith. I'm sorry to say. And God does not want his people in little faith. Say, little faith, no more for me. In Jesus' name. Make that decision today. We're going to look at little faith. This is a second level that Jesus talked about. In the word of God, God wants his people to trust him. He wants us to trust him. And Jesus gave the example in the word of God. In Matthew, he talked about, he gave visual many, many times when Jesus taught. And I'm just like my daddy, just like my brother, elder brother. I love to use visuals. You all know that, right? Amen. Praise God. Jesus gave visuals over and over and over. And the reason he gave visuals, because when you see something and hear it, it helps you to understand it and to remember it that much more. It stays with you. Praise God. And so he gave the visual of, you know, the importance of his people not having little faith. And he gave the example of the birds. He said, now, and I'm paraphrasing, take the birds, you know, of that have been created. He said, those birds don't go to work. You know, they don't have to harvest and toil and put into barns. Has anybody ever seen a bird just walking with a little case going to work? Has anybody seen that? No. Has anybody ever seen, picking up, you know, worms and putting it in his little barn somewhere? Oh, I'll save this worm for tomorrow or for next year. I'm not going to eat it all right now. Anybody see that? No. And then he gave the example, you know, of lilies of the field. He said, God created the lilies. And he talked about King Solomon. He said, the lilies of the field were more beautiful than King Solomon. How many know that King Solomon was rich? I mean, he was big time rich. King, he had all kinds of money and, I mean, you name it, he had it. Well, he said the lilies, that God clothed the lilies much more than he did King Solomon. They were arrayed in better garments. He was saying, now, if God can give us life, how many know God gave us life this day? He gave us breath to get out of the bed, the strength. Amen. He said, if he's able to do that for us, then his people shouldn't be worrying about clothes and, food and things like that. He wants us to trust him. And he goes and said, people that don't, they're a little faith. Amen. Praise God. Turn in the word quickly, if you will, praise God, to Matthew chapter 6. Say, thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. Praise God. We're talking about little faith. This is another level, and God does not want his people to have little faith. Amen. Let me see where I want to start. Let's look at I'm going to start at verse 25. Therefore, this is Jesus speaking, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is it not the life, is not the life, what did Jesus say? More than meat, and the body than raiment? So he's saying, haven't I given you life? Amen? So isn't life even more important than the meat and the clothes? If you don't have life, you don't need meat and clothes anyway. Amen? So if he can take care of our life, give us breath every day, then he's saying, you know, I can take care of the rest. Verse 26, behold. Then he gives visuals. Behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Isn't that right? They don't have barns they stack worms in. They don't have a little satchel they go into work every day. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Are ye not much better than they? How many here know we're better than birds? Amen. How many? I heard a couple of amens. Amen. Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought, or you might want to say worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They're not working either. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, so shall he not much more, say much more, clothe you. Amen. And then he goes on to say, O ye of what kind of faith? Little faith. This is another level. Little faith. Jesus is talking about. There, that's for those that are not trusting God fully. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But, say, but, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness. Amen. And that's what God wants his people to do. Amen. To seek him first and his righteousness. And then he goes on and says, and all these things shall be added unto you. And say, all these things shall be added unto me. Amen. All these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Praise God. So God wants us to realize that we want to have the things, you know, that he wants us to have. And he tells us how to get them. He said, seek me and my kingdom first. Then all other things that the Gentiles seek will be added. What are the Gentiles seeking? Houses, cars, lands, money, all those things, right? Well, God's telling us how to get them. Because even when they have it, they're going to lose it anyway. Amen. And matter of fact, the word of God, I'm not going to teach you, I'm talking about they're heaping it up. Till the last day. How many know we're in the last day to come to the people of God? Amen. Hallelujah. But it's not just going to be everybody. It's going to be people that are in faith, people that are doers of the word, people that are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. And can't be seen. Well, oh, I've been believing God. I've been doing this. I've been doing, but I don't see it. You don't see it. You won't see it. That's right. Because you just spoke what you have and what you're going to have. You spoke your future into existence. So it's time to line your words up with the word of God. And God calls those things that are not yet in the physical realm as they already were, because they are in the spiritual realm. And so we've got to line our mouths and our thoughts and our hearts, our words up with the word of God. How many agree with that can say amen? Amen. So we see the second level of faith is little faith. What kind of faith? Little faith. And God does not want his people to have little faith. Now we're going to look at some reasons for little faith. And as we look at little faith, I want each person, please don't raise your hand. Please don't say that's me. Nobody will know. Amen. Praise God. But I want you to identify where you are. And the last one we're going to look at is great faith. So if you're not at great faith, you have opportunity to get there. We all do. Amen. If you're there, God wants you to stay there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I'm going to give you my definition of faith. Praise God. This is my definition of faith. faith, having trust in God and His Word, and believing you already have what you asked or prayed for, or you are believing for that which your spiritual eyes have seen, your inner eyes, and you know it shall come to pass in the physical realm or manifest. Come to pass means manifest or show up. I'm going to say it again. This is my definition of faith. Having trust in God and His Word and believing you already, say already, have what you have asked, prayed for, and or believing for, that which your spiritual eyes have seen, your inner eyes, and you know it shall come to pass in the physical realm or manifest. Manifest means come to pass, show up. Amen? In Hebrews, this is the definition of faith. This is what it says about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Very familiar scripture. Now, faith is the substance. Say substance. Of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to give you a revelation. What is substance? It says faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. Faith is that which you are speaking. I want everybody to get this. Faith is the substance. Substance is something you can, something tangible, right? Faith is the substance. That substance is that which you are speaking and that which you are showing. That's your faith. To give an example, you desire to take a trip. You may not have the person, may not have the money, may not have the ticket, may not even have a job. But they begin to say, I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to go to Mexico. I'm going to Mexico this year or whatever. That's your faith. You're speaking it. You can show that faith. How do you show it? By what you do. You're going to get some luggage. You're going to start thinking about the clothes you're going to take, putting together. That's your substance. Amen? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you haven't gotten that trip yet manifested, but you see it in here. You see it with your spiritual eye. Amen? Giving you revelation. Substance is what you are speaking and what you are doing. Another example. Woman starts saying, oh, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. Oh, tell me, I'm pregnant. On the outside, it doesn't look like it. Might be less than a month, right? May not even have any tests, but just know that they're pregnant. That is faith being spoken. The action would be they might start going out looking at maternity clothes or purchasing maternity clothes or purchasing clothes for the baby. That's the substance. Amen. Praise God. Or might say, I've got a raise. Oh yeah, I've got a raise. Maybe the boss told you that. Maybe he didn't. But that's your faith speaking. Amen. Heaven is my home. Oh yeah. How do you know heaven's your home? You ever been? Heaven's my home. That's your faith speaking. And you're gonna act like it. You're not gonna act like the devil. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen in the natural realm. But you got to have some faith. And you want it to show up, then you're going to manifest that faith. That faith is going to be seen by the words that you speak and the things that you do. The places you go and the places you don't go. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So faith is very important to God. Word of God tells us without faith, it's impossible to even please God. Amen. So the level, second level that we're looking at is little faith. Now we're going to look at some reasons why people have little faith. And we're looking at these so that you can identify where you are. Don't raise your hand. And you can identify what needs to be changed. Amen. Unfortunately, there are many Christians that have little faith. And the Word of God lets us know, you know, that that doesn't please God, and He does not want His people to have little faith. Amen. So make this your day that you get rid of little faith. Amen. Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, quickly. Mark chapter 4. When you found it, can you say amen? Now, these, I'm going to say, are different people's hearts. Different people's hearts. Talking about believers this morning. Believers. The first heart that's identified is the wayside Christian. The wayside Christian. And the word is sown, but the word of God says immediately the devil comes and takes the word out of their heart. You're getting the word today. Now, it's going to identify you whether you're a wayside Christian or not. A wayside Christian is somebody, maybe they, you know, the word goes forth, they hear the word, maybe the word on finances, the word, and they get home, or maybe they get to the car, and they check the checkbook. Oh no, there's a $50 error minus, $100 error in my checkbook, minus. So then they start saying everything but the word of God. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Oh, I'm not going to have my bill, money to pay my bills. Oh, wayside Christian. They've let the enemy take the word out of their heart. They just hit on that the Lord said, I am your provider. I am Jehovah Jireh. Amen? Amen. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm your provider. Well, then, even though made that error, what should the response be? Lord, I thank you that you are my provider. I thank you. All my needs are met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, because I am a tither and a giver, Lord God. I thank you call men and women, boys and girls to give into my bosom. I trust you, Lord God, that all my needs are met according to your riches and glory. I thank you for those bills being paid. Now, if you start saying other things, you're going to have just what you say. That's a wayside Christian. That's one example of a wayside Christian. Get the word, and then the devil comes immediately. Maybe it's the area of healing. Maybe, we're taught on healing, and faith has arose. Oh, yeah, I'm the healed of God. Body might even start feeling a little bit better. Or maybe it doesn't. But you say, I'm standing on God's word. With his stripes, I'm healed. And then something happens. Maybe catch a worse, and get a pain in the back, shoots through your back. Oh, no, this thing ain't working for me. Oh, I hurt so bad. I knew it wasn't going to work. There it goes. So God wants us to be people that do not have little faith. These are examples of people with little faith. And the list goes on and on and on. Everybody in Mark chapter 4. Okay, let's look at, I'm starting at verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? This is Jesus talking. The sower soweth the word. I'm sowing the word today into your hearts. Amen, by the Spirit of God. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. That's what he does. Stop reading. That's what he does. He comes. He doesn't care how he does it. He doesn't care if he does it, you know, well, the examples can go on and on and on, but God wants you to recognize him. And I want you to identify where you are in God's word this morning. Amen? Praise God. So you need to make changes. You can do so. The next heart of little faith is the heart of stony ground Christian. I'm going to call him stony ground Christian. They are a person that's so glad when they hear the word. Oh, and they endure for a time. But when affliction or persecution arises, immediately they are offended. Immediately they are offended. To give an example, and they're offended because they're being persecuted for the word. Maybe at school, people know that you're a Christian. Might be a teacher. A teacher may pick on you because you are a Christian. Make fun. It causes other people to laugh at you. On the job, your supervisor knows you're a Christian, so that supervisor do everything he can to try to say, well, they're not really a Christian anyway. I'm going to make them show that they're not a real Christian. Try to get you to curse or act mean and nasty. So You know, God says he doesn't want us to be Christians that have stony ground heart. Because you have stony ground heart, then you're going to get offended. People, Christians with stony ground heart, they're going to be persecuted. All of us are persecuted. But the one with stony ground hearts are those that are going to get upset. And they're going to show it. They're going to show it on their job. They're going to show it in school. They're going to show it in their home. They're going to show it in church. Because of what happened, because of the persecution that happened to them that day somewhere. And what they're doing actually is blaming God. That's what it boils down to. Well, how should a person react? The Word of God tells us how we are to react. The Word of God tells us that we are to rejoice. Say rejoice. And be exceedingly glad. Amen. He tells us why we are to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He says we are to rejoice and be exceedingly glad because the prophets before were persecuted. Jesus was persecuted himself. And he goes on and says, great. Great. Say great. Great. He says, great is our reward in heaven. Now, our reward in heaven is for all eternity. It's not going to rust. Moss can't eat it. It's not going to dry up. But we have to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen? Not for something that you've done wrong, but for the cause of the gospel. And react in the right way. Can you say amen? Amen. So, you know, if something's happening on your job or, you know, at home, stay sweet. Don't take it home. Don't bring it here to church. Don't take it, you know, wherever you are. Take Christ wherever you are. Take his spirit. Amen? The fruit of the spirit. And know that if you're persecuted, Lord, I thank you. I'm so honored. I know you were persecuted far worse than me. I'm in excellent company. Lord, I thank you. You promised me great rewards in heaven. Because I choose not to be stony ground, but I choose to be good ground and manifest you. Amen? It's a choice we make. And the enemy doesn't care who he comes against. He comes against every believer. Now we're looking at people with little faith. Amen. Little faith hearts. Now God does not want his believers to have little faith. Verse 16, and they that likewise who are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. So they haven't, you know, they haven't grown the way God wants them to. And so endure, but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction could be sickness and disease too, or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That's another level of little faith. Reasons why. 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, say the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So this is another example why some people have little faith. So you're seeing examples so that you don't allow them to take part of your life, become a part of your life. The Word of God here, giving examples, cares of this world. There are always going to be cares of this world. They're always, always, always in this life. Maybe it's in a marriage. Maybe there's a spouse that's, you know, acting up, and the other one's, you know, trying to do what's right. Well, that's the care of this world, right? Then what happens is sometimes the one that's, you know, going in the way they should, they just go head on and just say, well, it's just too much. I just, you know, I can't come to church anymore. I got to take care of things at home. Cares of this world. I mean, you can think of examples, can go on and on. It could be children not acting right. Well, you know, I got to stay home and you know, watch my children. I got to do another. No, that's not putting God first place. Amen? Praise God. We've got to not let the cares of this world, because the cares of this world are going to come. Period. Because when you yield to the cares of this world, then what happens? Little faith is working in that person's life. Deceitfulness of riches. Another example. Deceitfulness of riches. Example. Person, and I'm using Christians now. Well, I can't come to church. Why not? Well, you know, I worked late last night. I got to get my rest. Or I can't come to church because I got to go work today. Well, that's deceitfulness of riches. Well, you know I need that money. Deceitfulness of riches. For the buck. God tells us what to do. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Doing things his way. Putting him first place. Because riches are, didn't say riches. He wants us to have riches his way. But it says the deceitfulness of riches. And that can, people are deceived. Think, well, I've got to do this, line this up. Nope. Because it's never going to work anyway. Period. Amen. Might as well make up my, Lord, I'm not going to allow deceitfulness and riches to come in. It might take me a while, but I'm going to do it your way. Amen. And then he goes on and talks about the lust of other things entering in. And that's also another area that the enemy uses against Christians. I want this. I want that. I've got to have this. I got to have that. God wants us to have the things more than we do. Period. Whatever it is, whether it's jewelry, whether it's cars, whether it's houses, whether it's, you know, whatever. He wants us to have those things. He has no problem about it, but he doesn't want those things to have us. And he does not want them to be more important than he is. So the lust of other things come in, and that person's focus is on the things rather than God. Amen. Need I say any more? I didn't say no. Well, let me continue then. Lust of other things. Amen. Praise God. Lust of those things can cause people to backslide. Cause people not to come to church. Or come when they feel like it's convenient for them. And God wants us to realize he's got to be the most important person in our lives. His word and his will for us must be the most important thing. Period. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns. Remember, you're identifying your heart today. Such as hear the word and the cares of this world. These are different things. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. So even though they have heard the word, that word is choked out and they decide to go the way opposite of the word. What's been taught. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And I didn't plan on saying, but tidings coming up in my spirit. There's another way, another area. Tiding. Well, you know, I can't tide. Deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. I got to do that with this tide money. That's robbing God. And God says when a person robs God, he will not rebuke the devil for that person's sake. And they will know, well, how come I can't get ahead? Because robbing God. And God can't. He said, I will rebuke the devil if that person is a tither and a giver. Not when it's convenient. Not when they think, well, I got enough now. It's God's anyway. Amen. That was for somebody. Amen. Praise God. I'm moving on. I know some people want move on, Pastor. I'm moving on. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, and the word, it becometh unfruitful. And verse 20, this is where God wants all of us to be. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Say good ground. Such as hear the word. Remember, all of these heard the word. And receive it and bring forth 30, 60, and some 100-fold. Now, I call this great faith level. Now, there are different, you know, even with this, there are different levels, 30, 60, 100. God wants, you know, all of us to come to the 100 level. But it's better to be somewhere, amen, in the great faith, amen, so that we can move up in that. Hallelujah. To God be the glory, amen. So we've looked at no faith. These are, Jesus is talking about this, no faith, talking about levels, no faith, little faith. And now we're going to look at great faith, amen, great faith coming up. Hallelujah. Praise God. A person that has great faith, praise God, is a person whose heart is good. It's a person who is putting God first place. You know, people say, I love God. I love you. God says, if you love me, you're going to do my word. That's what he says, how he identifies somebody that loves him. Amen. And God desires, you know, his people, all of his people, to leave little faith levels and move into the great faith level. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. And allow each root to grow deeply. Amen. So when persecution or affliction, all those things, you know, you won't be moved. You'll stand. It might hurt. But you just, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. Lust in this world and cares with it. I trust you, Lord. I'm going to do what you say do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Jesus gave an example of a woman that had great faith. And this woman was a non-Jew. She was a Canaanite woman. And she had a very serious problem. She wasn't coming for herself, but she was coming on behalf of her daughter, who was vexed with a devil or a demon spirit. And she went to Jesus, and I mean, she was, all kind of stuff happened to her. And this is an example to let we who are Christians to know, you know, we've got to persevere. We can't give up. Amen. Just because we don't see it manifested, we've got to see it in the spiritual realm. And we got to speak it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So here this daughter, she went to Jesus and she's asking Jesus to, you know, to deliver her daughter. And Jesus said, you know, you know, I didn't come to you. I came to the house of Israel. You know, even called her a dog. Yet, she said, but Lord, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs under the table. Now, wasn't that perseverance? Wasn't that faith? Amen. She had a made up mind. I am not giving up. I'm going to get what I came for my daughter. I'm going to get this. And it pleased God. It pleased Jesus. And he said, you know, the testimony throughout the world was going to be given about this woman, the type of faith she had. He said, you know, great faith this woman had. So that lets me know that, you know, sometimes it may not show up immediately. There may be obstacles to try to stop you from receiving that which you have seen in the spiritual realm. But you don't give up. You persevere. Amen. Hallelujah. Quickly turn to Matthew. We're getting ready to wrap up. Praise God for this morning. Matthew 15. Praise God. I believe it's Matthew 15. Let's see. Verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan, I'm in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, talking about Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, just ignored her. How many people like being ignored? I don't think anybody likes being ignored. Praise God. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So they were mocking her, and they were mad at her too. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Words, I haven't come for you. Then came she and worshiped. What did she do? Worship is a major key. Worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet or fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. What did he say? O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. She did something. She did not give up. She persevered. She overcame the obstacles that were facing her. You might say, oh, my obstacles are so many. We all have obstacles. But our choice is to let those obstacles defeat us, cause us to speak death, or to leap over them. Amen? Our choice is to speak God's words of spirit and resurrection life and to see in the spiritual realm. Because in the spiritual realm is our victory. In the spiritual realm is all that we need. Every part of total salvation, Jesus has already paid for. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. These are some things, keys that people of faith do. Can I get you to hold this up, Pastor? Please, praise God. Hallelujah. And faith is what? Faith is believing. Can you get it? Can you stand right here? Can't do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith is believing and trusting in God. It's belief and trust in the unseen, in the spiritual realm. You see it in here. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So you must believe. Amen. Put God's word first place. Be a person of prayer. Amen. And not just praying for yourself all the time. Amen. Come out here on Tuesdays and join us. Amen. Prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. For others as well as yourself. Yes. Must have actions and obedience to God's word. Everybody's heard the word today. It's up to each one to make up their mind to be obedient and to do the word. That's what faith does. Amen. And to have Holy Ghost boldness, because once you make up your mind, I'm going to tell you, the enemy will come. And he doesn't care who he uses. And usually it's somebody that's the closest to you, somebody that you love, somebody you care about. Because he knows if he can get that person to get you going, then he's hurting. You know, that's how the hurt comes. Amen. So recognize the enemy and you be prepared and armed with boldness. Lord, I thank you. I trust you. Yeah, my bank account says that, but Lord, I trust you, Lord God. Oh, you made all my needs. Lord, oh yeah, that pain's coming, but Lord, I trust you. Your word says with your stripes, I am healed. Your child act, Lord, I trust you, Lord God. Oh, they've been dedicated to the Lord. They're going to serve you. They are holy children of God. You said the seed of the righteous shall be blessed. So I thank you, my seed is blessed. You can't say that unless you're living righteously yourself, though. Amen. The seed of the righteous shall be blessed. Amen. Amen. So these are some things that are important, you know, concerning faith. Amen. Praise God. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that substance is the words that come out of your mouth. That substance are the corresponding actions. Remember the examples I gave you. Amen. About the trip to Mexico, about pregnancy, about the raise. Amen. You don't just think it. You got to say it. And you've got to have corresponding actions. That's your substance. That's revelation knowledge today in that area. Your substance. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Lewis. Praise God for his word. Amen. And the last example that we're going to look at is the example of the one leper. This leper, even though he isn't referred to as having great faith, I believe this leper had great faith. If you notice, Jesus said, thy daughter is made whole. That word whole is different from healed. It's actually total salvation. And God desires that his people be made whole. Not just healed, but be made whole. So he wants you to begin to expect that. Amen. Hallelujah. And whole means, you know, if something's missing or something's broken or whatever, that you don't just get a healing. Say, for example, a part of your body has caused an injury someplace else. That body part might be healed, but then the injury is still, something's wrong someplace else. He wants you to receive total, complete victory in every area. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's time to believe for missing body parts. Limbs that are missing. Eyes that are missing or blinded. That's what he wants, church. To raise the dead. spiritually and physically. Can you say amen? Praise God. In Luke, and this man did something that's very important. For great faith, you must be a worshiper, a praiser, and a worshiper. And you do that before it shows up. Amen. You've heard me say that many, many times. Amen. Hallelujah. Excuse me. The temptation is not to, when you're going through, not to want to thank God, not to want to praise Him, not to want to worship, to keep your mouth closed or to say negative things, murmuring, complaining. Nope. Praise and worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank Him in advance. Praise God. Turn to Luke quickly, chapter 17. Luke 17. And this is the story when Jesus, there were these 10 lepers, and leprosy is a very, very serious, very terrible disease, and it discolors the body from what I understand, and different body parts begin to fall off, and very painful. And the people, you know, were outcasts. They weren't even allowed to come around other people that, you know, didn't have leprosy, but they started crying out to Jesus, you know, to minister to them. And Jesus said, you know, go show yourself. This is one of the things that you're supposed to do in the Old Testament, to show themselves to the priest. So they went in faith, and as they went, they were healed. But only one leper came back. And when he came back, he worshiped Jesus. He worshiped Him. Amen. He gave Him thanks and He worshiped Him. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. So in other words, he got more than just healed. Those body parts that had fallen off came back. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, verse 12. And as he, talking about Jesus, entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were obedient, they were cleansed. And one of them, and that took faith there, and one of them which saw that he was healed turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So here he's praising God and fell down on his face and his feet giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So this was one, wasn't even a Jew. See, God didn't put anything in his word just to be putting it there. Like, so this was a non-Jew who did this. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returneth to give glory to God save this stranger. So he's saying he's a stranger. Here there's a Jew that's coming back. The other ones didn't even come back. When you get your healing, your victory, don't keep it to yourself. You get, tell other people about it. He uses people to heal other people. And they need to know that God uses people. That he's doing supernatural works. Amen. But God's the healer, but he's got to have a vessel to flow through. If he uses you to tell somebody that he used you. That's bragging on God. If you keep it, well, you know, if I do that, I'm being boastful or proud. How is anybody going to know the greater works are being done if you don't tell them? Tell me that. Amen. Or if God uses you, heals you, then you tell somebody and tell them that they used so-and-so to minister healing to you. Let them know that the gifts of the Spirit operate in your church. And they can come and they can get their healing. They can get their deliverance. They can get what they need to get their victory, whatever it is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you don't have to wait to come to church. You can let God use you wherever you are. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So look at verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory. Talking about the 9 to God save this stranger, non-Jew. And he said unto him, arise. See, he's down, bound, worshiping God. Go thy way. Thy faith. What's made him whole? Thy faith have made thee what? Whole. Did he say healed? No, he said what? whole. Amen. Hallelujah. And that word whole, in the Hebrew, it means a lot of different things. These are some of the definitions of whole. It means safe, to save, delivered. It does mean heal. It means to preserve, to do well, to make whole. If he had body parts missing, you better believe they came back because he was made whole. Nothing was missing. Amen. Amen. So God wants us to have great faith. This morning we've talked about three levels of faith. No faith, and that's not saying a person doesn't have faith, because everybody's given the measure of faith, but it means a person, for one reason or the other, possibly fear, are not functioning in that faith level. Amen. So there are no faith. Then you have the people that have little faith. We looked at a lot of examples of little faith this morning, did we not? And then there's great faith. Hallelujah. And that's where God desires that we are, that are his people, to be in the level of great faith all the time. Amen. And how do we do that? By the words that we speak and the actions, corresponding actions. Amen. And not being double-minded. Amen. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word this morning, your words of spirit and resurrection life. And I decree they will not fall to the ground, but take root and bring forth much good fruit in the lives of your people that hear this here. And as this, these tapes and CDs and videos go worldwide, I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for your desired changes coming forth in each one's life and for you getting the glory always. I give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise. And the church says, amen and amen. God bless you. Praise God. And at this time, I ask you to please stand to your feet for a call to total salvation.